on this episode of Rev Hang.
We're fast.
We are
just
fast.
Just like McLaren.
Indeed. I still stand by the only sprint race that's actually ever good is Brazil. I agree with that, Ben. It was much a yawn fest. Tsunoda ended up with 3 pit stops because his front wing just decided to not front wing anymore. Bringing that up.
Editor, can you put that in?
No.
Editor,
don't.
Can you put that
in? Stop. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me in person, once again, from here on out, hopefully, is my
hopefully.
Good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
Unless I lose my house.
And then then we'll do it at my house and figure it out.
Let's go.
The no space in my house.
Yeah. I'm doing okay, though. It was a beautiful day outside in the valley. It smells like flowers everywhere because everything is blooming, and I got to ride my motorcycle in, so no complaints here, except yep. I do have crazy helmet head that I'm hiding today.
I'm hiding every day, but that's because there's less hair up here than there used to be.
You ride a motorcycle every day?
Something
just go with
like that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it is. Everything is blooming, and so if my nose decides to rebel, that would be the reason. And then Ben will take over.
We'll cut the podcast. We'll just not do it anymore.
It won't happen. Well, it'll happen. It always happens. The show must go on. Anyway, we've got a couple of races to talk about today, so we are going to jump right into it. First off, we have some paddock news. Unfortunately, Eddie Jordan, the former team owner of Jordan F1, I believe was the name of the team, passed away this week. And he was a big name in Formula One for a very long time. His team won several races. He was Michael Schumacher's debut team. Kind of a big deal in the F1 world. And so we are sad to report that he is no longer with us after a battle with cancer. All right. That is all of the unfortunate paddock news we have for today. So let's move into IndyCar, hopefully on a better note. It is Thermal Club, but this year was so much better than last year. We were already hyping it up last week for it to be horrible, but that's because neither of us knew at the time that this was actually just a regular race this year. So things have gotten much, much, much better. And over a race distance, Ben, this track is actually really solid.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Over the 15 laps that happened last year, no. But over the full race distance, very good. Very good race. I know you haven't quite watched it yet.
No, I completely checked out on it. I just thought it was bad, and I went on a hike instead.
Honestly, solid decision, but given more information.
Now that I know, I'm a little bummed, but it's whatever.
It's okay. We'll go through top 10 and qualifying real quick to give you some context. It was a Ward followed by Lundgaard, Palou, Herta, Ericsson, Rossi, Armstrong, Kirkwood, Rosenqvist, and Foster. And moving into the race, it was pretty... Well, we're kind of dumb these down a little bit because I assume that if you're listening to this, you most likely watched the race or at least the highlights.
You're here for our opinions.
Exactly. That's why you're here. So we're going to try to cut to the chase a little more. Ward led for the first 3/4 of the race. He was kind of chased down by Lundgaard a little bit, but that threat backed off. And then Palou flew through the field during the last half of the race and took the lead from Ward and then drove off into the sunset and won by like 10 seconds. So that's what happened during the race. top 10 in the race were Palou with the win, followed by Ward and Lundgaard on the podium. Then we had Herta and Rosenqvist, 4th and 5th. And 6th through 10, we had Power, Armstrong, Kirkwood, Rossi, and Dixon. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's frame it as maybe somebody in the room didn't watch the race and you're trying to describe the exciting parts about it to them. If there's somebody in the room like that, how would you describe the race to them?
I mean, I kind of just did, assuming people watched the race or the highlights.
Oh,
but
right.
For the people
yeah.
who didn't. We have some generalized talking points we can go over. So, first off, Palou is absolutely inevitable. The guy will probably win every single race this season. I'm already calling it right now. Honestly, if he wins the 500, he might be the pick for Cadillac over Herta. because then he probably will feel like he's done everything he's needed to do in IndyCar and will be like, all right, let me make a bid for the Triple Crown now.
Why not?
Why not? The 500 is probably the most difficult. Well, Monaco is probably the most difficult to get in the Triple Crown.
It depends.
But the 500 is also incredibly difficult. Le Mans is actually the easiest of the three, even with it being a 24-hour race.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if he won the 500 and then won another championship. If I was Cadillac, I know you want an American, though. That's the thing. Maybe you just take her to Ann Pillow. Solutions,
I mean,
baby.
Yeah, the solution, just take two IndyCar drivers?
You're going to choose between Sergio Perez and Alex Pillow, and you're telling me you're going
to
choose
Perez.
That would
be an absolutely crazy decision. Somebody on the grid would make it, though. Guarantee you.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Award had a heartbreak. As always, the poor guy. Real fast. Never seems to be in the right place at the right time. On the right tires. So, yep, he led. Yeah, the pole position. Led most of the race. Did not win the race. Was super bummed about it. Kind of like the 500 last year and the year before. And a lot of other races.
Yeah.
It's tough to be an Award fan, but here we are. It was a very good race, though, overall. Very entertaining. Lots and lots and lots of on-track overtakes in action. There was a fight between Pillow and Lundgaard that lasted for over half a lap, going back and forth with 4 to 5 switchbacks in the hairpins. Very fun to watch. They definitely fixed the problems from last year. And our last little point here, Marcus Ericsson might be a little washed.
Is he cooked?
I like Marcus Ericsson a lot. But the guy's had a rough couple of seasons as of late.
He was doing so well at Ganassi, and then he went to Andretti and just... the curse.
We'll see. He took Grosjean's car.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all I need to say on that one. So unfortunately, Marcus Ericsson not having the best time right now. Hopefully he can turn it around and get that back on the right track.
I think the main way he turns it around is getting out of Andretti.
Yeah. Andretti seems like the Ferrari of IndyCar.
They really do.
Like, they're always fast, and they're always a top team, but...
they always have really good drivers.
Yeah.
But their strategy is just garbage.
Their strategy, or they mess up pit stops for Herta, or something goes wrong. The car breaks, yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about Ferrari later, don't worry.
Oh, yes. Much, much Ferrari things. Anyway, championship standings in IndyCar. Alex Pillow is already ahead by almost 40 points, which is almost an entire race win, and we're only two races into the season. So it's already shaping up to be one of those years. we're only two races in, though, so I'll give it a chance. Awards in second, with Scott Dixon close behind in third, and then Christian Lundgaard right behind them in fourth. Fight for second might be really, really tasty this year.
Yeah. Yeah, Pato Award surely will beat Scott Dixon.
Surely.
Consistency versus inconsistency.
Right. Chinese Grand Prix. Let's move on to Formula One. We just started, but here we are already.
We're fast.
We are
just
fast.
Like McLaren.
Indeed. Good one, Ben.
Thanks. It took a lot of brain power to come up with that one.
All right. Chinese Grand Prix in Shanghai. Let's go into the top 10 in qualifying. We had Piastri followed by Russell and Norris. I did not actually include any of the sprint race information, but we'll talk about that briefly.
Yeah.
I completely forgot there was a sprint this week.
Mm-hmm.
It was just as boring as the main race.
Except Ferrari actually won, so.
Except Ferrari did actually win.
Yeah, they did win, right?
Yes.
Hamilton won. So many things have happened that I just forgot. Forgot if Ferrari actually won, if it was a dream.
Nope, Ferrari did win. It wasn't a dream, Ben. So, qualifying, Piastri, Russell, Norris, then Verstappen and Hamilton, 4th and 5th. 6 through 10, we had Leclerc, Hadjar, Antonelli, Tsunoda, and Albon. And then, once again, starting last was Liam Lawson.
Classic. Hadjar and Tsunoda both making it into Q1 this time, ahead of Lawson, crucially.
Yeah. Brutal. That's all I can say there. The guy, we'll talk about Lawson in a little bit.
We have rumors.
We have rumors that are gaining traction rapidly. I've never seen a rumor go this deep and not actually come true. So
probably because everyone wants it to happen at this point.
Yeah, we'll see. All right.
Well, maybe not everyone, but...
I don't know. Lawson doesn't.
Lawson doesn't. Or maybe he does. Maybe he wants to go to a different team.
That's his goal. He wants to get into the RB so he has a faster car.
It's like, maybe they'll let me go to Williams like Albon.
All right. Let's get into the race. Piastri led the entire race with pretty much no challenge to his lead. Behrman made up a bunch of positions in his Haas. Ended up coming home in 10th place initially. We'll talk about what initially means. Just a fantastic race from Behrman. The guy was passing people left and right.
Yeah.
Clearly very fast. Haas definitely turned something around. They figured something out since last week.
Yeah. We'll see if they can keep it going.
Yeah, for sure.
And, Albon also, the first Williams driver to, like, lead laps in a race. Wasn't that...
Not ever, but
like
in a long time,
yeah, to actually lead some laps.
Yep, it has been a while, and he did it on his birthday too.
Wow.
March 23rd, which I just put two and two together that his number is 23 and his birthday is on the 23rd.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, fantastic stuff. The more you know. All right, Ferrari finished.
They did finish. That is so true.
They did finish.
One of the cars that finished the race ever.
I'll do the results, then we'll talk about this. So first through third, we had Piastri, Norris, and Russell, followed by Verstappen fourth. Ocon fifth, Antonelli sixth, Albon seventh, Behrman eighth, Stroll ninth, Sainz 10th. I'm going to read all these out just this one time because it gets really weird.
It's funny.
So then 11 through 15, we had Hadjar, Lawson, Doohan, Bortoleto, and Hulkenberg. And then our last finisher in 16th was Tsunoda. Then Fernando Alonso did not finish. So we had three disqualifications this week. Two of them were Ferraris. And one of them was Pierre Gasly. So the Ferraris did finish in 5th and 6th, but due to getting disqualified, other drivers took those spots.
We now have a new low.
Yeah.
A new lowest bar. If Ferrari can finish a race with two scoring cars...
Good.
Good on them.
Good on them. Yeah. So last year, people thought it couldn't get much worse with them finishing like 7th, 8th. So they're like, all right. 5th and 6th is an improvement, and then double disqualification. Absolutely horrible. Leclerc, his car was underweight, presumably either used too much fuel or his car was just underweight. And then Hamilton, his plank on the bottom of his car was too worn, so they were running the car too low. And then Gasly, I also believe, was underweight.
Yeah, I think... In their official statement, Ferrari blamed the tires for Leclerc's.
They did. They blamed the tires for weighing not enough.
Yeah, he just used the tires too much versus everyone else.
Even though you can switch to new tires for the weigh-in.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. Let's go through the sprint results real quick. I'll pull them up since I didn't write them down.
You don't just remember them off the top of your head?
No, not off the top of my head. Unfortunately, I'm not that awesome.
You're not Formula One sprint race autistic?
No, not that flavor. All right, so sprint the grid for the sprint, I'll go through the top 10. Hamilton, Verstappen, Piastri, Leclerc, Russell, Norris, Antonelli, Tsunoda, Albon, Stroll. Got it?
Cool.
All right, sprints. Top 10 was... Hamilton, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, Leclerc, Tsunoda, Antonelli, Norris, and Stroll. The only thing that happened was at the beginning... Oh, and Alonso was 10th, actually. The only thing that actually happened was Lando Norris dropped, like, 5 places in the start. And that was pretty much all that happened that race. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a sprint race.
It was very much a sprint race and not nearly as good as last year's. I still stand by the only sprint race that's actually ever good is Brazil. And even that's about 50%. So I agree with that, Ben. It was much a yawn fest for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sprint races, we love them. We love to see them. Mm. We hope they go away. All right, let's talk about some stuff, Ben.
Okay.
Make this episode longer than 20 minutes.
Yep.
McLaren struggled this race on tires.
Yeah.
But the thing was, as everybody did. So
it didn't matter.
Yeah. They were still the fastest team. Clearly, Piastri managed the race very well. Lando Norris came home second, even after having brake failure at the end of the race. His brakes just decided to not stop. So he coasted over the line. Red Bull, definitely not in the top three fastest cars.
No.
Ferrari and Mercedes are definitely faster. Even though Verstappen has finished ahead of them, or at least the Ferraris both times, that is clearly just a product of Max being Max.
It's another throwback to the, is it the car or the driver?
It's 100% the car. I think Max is just so good. He can pull anything out of the car. The fact that he is, you can hear that he's giving it everything he can in the race, and he comes home to finish fourth. Like, after the Verstappen we've seen the last few years, I can confidently say that the car is not super championship material.
Yeah.
But Verstappen is, so I think Verstappen will still be in the championship hunt.
I kind of really like watching him like this too.
Me
like
too.
Just absolutely pushing to the max. To just even keep up in a car that is not as good and just see what he can do.
Yeah. I enjoy seeing him not at the front all the time because I like seeing him actually overtake people.
Mm-hmm.
That overtake he did on Leclerc was just...
It's spicy.
It was so good. It was a switchback into turn two and then around the outside of turn three. Very, very good stuff.
You love a good Verstappen Leclerc fight.
Yes. Yeah, they tend to fight each other quite frequently. Not really much since 2022, though. But when they do, it is entertaining. Ferrari is a hot mess, as we've discussed. Something will go wrong. We kind of hinted at that with Andretti earlier. Whether it's the strategy. So far, no bad pit stops, but...
Not yet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only waiting.
Yeah, Ferrari's strategy team is not great. And then also, like, setting up the car so that it disqualifies itself at the end of the race is not ideal either.
Being able to do that once is unfortunate. Being able to do that twice is impressive.
Twice in two different ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they just thought, hey, maybe we can get away with this. We'll do it to both cars. And then, no, it's like, two different ways.
That's wild.
Yeah. RB, crazy fast for being a midfield team. I'd say probably top in the midfield right now. I'm like looking at the other teams. Who is their competition?
Haas maybe.
We've seen one good race from Haas. I'm not really super convinced yet.
And Alex Albon.
Maybe, yeah, Alex Albon. And then whenever Sainz decides he wants to relearn how to drive, that's a little harsh. I think I overhyped Sainz at the beginning of the season, and now I feel betrayed.
It is kind of like Sainz. He's sitting in the back of class. He's like, would you like to participate? He's like,
not yet.
No.
Not yet. Yeah, so probably Haas at the moment. I think Williams will be there when Sainz figures out the car. I think that's all it is Sainz is just adjusting still. Because Albon is consistent, and he's real fast, and he's not... Like, his problem last year was that the car was borderline undrivable, and he kept crashing. Like both Williams did, but no, we haven't had an incident with Williams except for Sainz on the first lap of Australia, but that was not really his fault. Oh, you noticed that too.
Before I mess it up.
So, yeah, RB is looking real good. They did not finish in the points. this race, but that's because their strategy was actually horrible. They were like the only team that decided to do a two-stop, and they did it with both cars when they knew everybody else was going for a one-stop. So that was a little questionable, and then Tsunoda ended up with three pit stops because his front wing just decided to not front wing anymore. literally disintegrated under the sheer pressure of Tsunoda's magnitude.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Other than that, though, like, they qualified. They were in Q3, top 10 for sure. Mm-hmm. They were running in the top 10 for the majority of the race until the second pit stop. Like, RPE is a serious car this year. And there's all these memes flying around about Verstappen asking to get promoted to RB and all of these things. When it's actually, speaking of which, Liam Lawson is looking like he might be replaced already by, theoretically, Yuki Tsunoda. But, you know, they've screwed him before.
Have you also seen the rumor that he wouldn't even be going to RB?
That he would be out of Formula One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That no, Cola okay. Pint.
So the rumor currently, as it stands, this might be Jack Doohan's saving grace. As it stands, the rumor is, as of right now, like before Japan, mm-hmm. Lawson out of Red Bull, Tsunoda into Red Bull, Cola Pinto hired on to RB, Lawson out of Formula One as a whole. Which would be absolutely brutal.
That would be in, yeah.
Two races. This is a new low even for Red Bull.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Absolutely nuts. I mean, granted, if you're in Red Bull, you cannot be finishing 20th consistently.
Well, you can
or qualifying.
Be.
I mean, you
Perez
can't.
Perez did it for an entire season.
I mean, but it wasn't. Listen, we dog on Perez a lot. It was not this bad. This is a new level. I think it's pretty clear that the car is only drivable by Max. I think Perez is a lot better than everybody gave him credit for.
That's
and I
fair.
Think Lawson is just a rookie who's been put in the worst possible situation.
Yeah, I think we're coming back to the Lawson should have never been promoted this quickly in the first place.
No, discussion. But I think we're also starting to have the discussion, which we've been having kind of like, haha, maybe. But also, like, I think this is real now, is like, Red Bull has a serious problem where they have a car that is only drivable by one person.
And even right now, barely.
And even right now, it's not good enough for even podiums. I mean, he did in Australia, but that's because it was raining and Max is Max. But yeah, I would not be surprised if Max is finishing consistently between 4th and 6th with how fast Antonelli and Russell are and Leclerc and Hamilton when they're not getting disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Like Antonelli's been seriously killing it. He finished 6th after the DQs, but it would have been 8th, which for a rookie in his first year, dude, he's killing it. Any rookie that's just scoring points is doing a great job no matter what team they're in. And so for Antonelli to be coming out right out of the gate and up there with the big boys is really impressive. And then George Russell might be a sleeper championship contender this year. Like, he's been consistent. He's kind of been under the radar, but he got 3rd in Australia, and he got 3rd in China.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Mercedes kind of has the edge on strategy.
Yeah.
In driver lineup. I think McLaren is still probably going to, maybe even more so now that both their drivers are in the mix and there's not a Max Verstappen-shaped hole where one of them is trying to slot in, that McLaren probably will continue to struggle with team orders.
That is an interesting thought.
So if it comes down to that, I could see Mercedes being able to capitalize on their McLaren's inability to foster a good relationship between their drivers on the track.
It'll be really interesting to see, because I think what's going to happen is they're not going to have to really make a decision until about summer break.
Right.
I think Piastri Norris is going to consistently, both of them will be on the podium at the very least. And so I don't see McLaren not winning the championship with this car as a team. Drivers' Championship will get a little dicey if they do start taking points off each other, though.
I mean, we even saw it in Australia, that the weird team orders of, okay, don't race, don't race, don't race. Okay, now you're allowed to race.
Even though, like, you're too far back now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost feels like qualifying is going to kind of determine who gets the preference every week, which, honestly, if that's how they decide to do it, that's fair enough. Yeah. So, because Piastri clearly was favored by the strategy this week, since Lando was almost undercut. He was undercut by Russell and then had to overtake him again.
Yeah.
So that's how I'd honestly like to see it. I think Piastri deserves as much a shot as Lando does. I mean, that seems like an obvious thing to say, but, like, Piastri is also incredibly good. And so if they let him race it out, I think that's awesome. I think if they want to secure the double championship, they should make kind of a decision about halfway through the season, depending on where third place is in the championship, if that's still worth people are, because Piastri isn't even third right now, or second right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will be soon.
It's only 2 points behind.
Yeah. Is he in third?
He's in fourth.
He's in fourth.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 2 points. Oh, it's really tight then.
It is very tight. Yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, probably one more race and he'll be in second.
Yeah.
Depending on where everybody else is, I mean, if they're right on their tail, and you got Verstappen and Russell chomping at the bit, you're going to have to make a decision and stick with it. But, you know, if they pull away and both of them are at least probably 50, 60 points ahead of third place, I would say just let them race.
Yeah.
Which is entirely possible, because I think Mercedes, Ferrari, and Max will be taking points off each other in much larger chunks than Piastri and Norris will. So we'll see how it shakes out, but I think it's going to be an interesting season. We might have one of those 2016-style seasons where it's just a battle between teammates for the championship, which we actually have not had in a long time.
Yeah, it's...
Because, I mean, Hamilton was always clearly far ahead of Bottas, and then obviously Max was miles ahead of Perez the whole time.
And even so, Ricardo never really...
Yeah. But, I mean, the last time we saw it between teammates was Hamilton-Rosberg in 2016. So, that'd be interesting, an interesting dynamic for the last race in these regulations before we move on to 2026. And all the new regulations and all of the shakeups that are going to happen as a result of that. We'll see Adrian Newey's first full car with Aston Martin, which I think people might be sleeping on a little bit. You noticed that Red Bull's downfall started when Adrian Newey left. Just saying.
Hopefully he's still got it for Alonso's sake.
Yeah, hopefully, if Alonso's still there.
Yeah.
That's another thing we'll have to keep track of. Is Stroll going to continue into the new regs? Probably. The odds of Verstappen actually leaving and going to Aston are pretty low. I know that was where my mind was. I know I didn't say that out loud, so that was kind of a jump right there.
I mean, Stroll did score points this race. And
Stroll has been kind of solid this year.
He's been kind of in the middle this year.
He's gotten points in both races, so I'm just saying. Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to this season. So even on these kind of meh races, a lot going on. There's a lot of politics involved in this Chinese Grand Prix that were very fun for me. The race wasn't particularly great, but I still enjoyed the weekend as a whole. Ollie Bearman was absolutely robbed of driver of the day, which was given to Kimi Antonelli for going from 8th place to 8th place.
Yeah, Oliver Bearman is absolutely killing it.
Yeah, I voted for I tried to vote for Bearman for driver of the day before the voting was even open. I wasn't even reminded yet, and I was like, this guy deserves it. I don't know how Antonelli managed to get driver of the day, other than I'm sure the girls swooned for him. I don't know. Kid's 19. Like, let's chill. I don't think he's even 19. I think he's 18.
How old is Bearman?
Bearman's also, like, 18, I think. Age. So Bearman's 19. Kimi Antonelli age. Yeah, Kimi's 18. So I don't know, man. I don't get it. Behrman clearly deserved that driver of the day, or at least Piastri. Just give it to somebody that did something. No like shade towards Antonelli, because he also had a great race. He just didn't, like, you know, I don't think he deserved driver of the day, but that's just me. I think
the Antonelli hate starts now.
Yeah, right.
He's now Nathan's mortal enemy.
No, let's not start that, because I've actually been very impressed by him this year. He's doing the best of all the rookies right now. So it's kind of all we have to talk about. If we want to go through the championship standings real quick, it's up at the top. It's Lando Norris at 44, followed by Max Verstappen at 36, George Russell at 35, and Oscar Piastri at 34 points. And then there's a drop down to Kimi Antonelli at 22 points, and Alex Albon, which is in P6 in the championship, and honestly, that might be the highest he's ever been in the Drivers' Championship.
Well,
I don't know. When he was in Red Bull, I don't know if he was that high. I
mean, he wasn't at Red Bull for a full season, though, so that kind of...
He was.
Was he?
Yeah, 2020. The full 2020 season, which was like three quarters of a season.
Oh, like right. That's why I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So he took over in 2019 for Gasly halfway through, and then did the full 2020 season, and then Perez replaced him in 21.
Right.
Yeah.
I always forget about the 2020 season.
Most people do.
I mainly remember it, thinking back, as the season where Ferrari was last most of the time.
Yeah, that was a bad year for
those
Ferrari.
Were dark years.
Those were dark times. Yeah. Championship in terms of constructors: McLaren 78 points, Mercedes at 57, Red Bull at 36, and so that means Max is at 36.
Yeah,
which is the case.
Williams is 17, tied
Williams
with Ferrari,
is tied
which
with
means
Ferrari,
Albon is tied with Ferrari.
But has a better best result, meaning Williams is ahead of Ferrari. Haas is only 3 points behind Ferrari. My goodness. And the only team that is yet to score points is Alpine. The memes just make themselves sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, Pit Stop Championship. Let's go into it. Top 10 were Leclerc, Tsunoda, Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, Lawson, Russell, Hadjar, Bortoleto, and Antonelli. So, standings are Leclerc, Tsunoda, Hamilton, Russell, Verstappen, Lawson, Norris, Behrman, Ocon, and Hadjar in the top 10. Ferrari maintaining their form from last year. Solid pit stops for now. RB having some solid pit stops. They usually have a pretty good team when it comes to pit stops. McLaren dropping off, not sure what's going on there, and then Red Bull also not at the top of the times, which is interesting. But yeah, Leclerc was the fastest this week with a time of 2.05 seconds. Pretty speedy, nothing record breaking, but
we'll get faster as the season goes through.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, once they shake the rust off a little bit. All right, let's talk about the overtake of the week. I gave this one to Alex Palou for his overtake on Christian Lagarde on a lap of the Grand Prix at Thermal Club. I don't remember which lap it was specifically, and I didn't write it down because I didn't feel like it, but it was near the end. It was obviously before he caught and took award, but very, very good overtake. It was like a quadruple switchback. Lingard was fighting back. It was awesome.
I can't wait to see when I actually watch the race.
Best racing moments of the season so far, for sure. All right, let's go into our predictions, Ben. IndyCar, Thermal Club. Pole position went to Pato O'Ward. What did you say, Ben?
I had Newgarden for this one.
Okay. I had Herta, so neither of us got that one. Podium was Palou, O'Ward, and Lundgaard. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Dixon, Palou, and Rosenqvist.
I had Palou, Herta, and Lundgaard. So I actually got 2 out of 3 and in the right order.
Yeah, Palou and Lundgaard. Lundgaard was a good call. I would not have seen that coming up, to be honest.
Yeah. Winning number of pit stops. We thought this was going to be the same format as last season, so we didn't actually predict any pit stops, but there were 3 pit stops in the Palou camp this week.
Now we know.
Now we know. The more you know. The second time we're bringing that up.
Editor, can you put that in?
No.
Editor,
don't.
Can you put
that in? Stop. I'm not. No. The point of this was to make editing easier. I'm not adding composites to our videos yet. Not until I'm better.
Editor, cut that. Repaste it. Out of silly face to Nathan.
All right. Predictions for the Chinese Grand Prix. To remind everybody, the top five was Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Leclerc. Ben, who was your top five?
It was bad this week. I had Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Sainz, and Albon with Doohan as my dark horse. All of which were wrong. Pretty cool.
Rough. Rough indeed. You had the double Williams points there. The double, yeah. Williams top five.
I thought Sainz would finally perk up, and he did not.
Not quite, no. Maybe next time. I had Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Russell with Sainz as my dark horse. I also thought Sainz would do a little better. So I actually got the top five correct. Just 3, 4, and 5 were in the wrong order.
The question is now, do we continue thinking that Sainz will get better? Or do we give up now and cut our losses?
Who did we do this with last year? Was it Tsunoda? Or was it... It was Alonso, wasn't it? We always thought Alonso was going to, like, maybe...
I feel like we did this with Perez last year.
Perez was a different situation. Perez was always like... Yeah, no, I'm a guess, yeah. Fastest lap went to Lewis Hamilton, what'd you say?
I had Russell for this one.
I had Verstappen for this one. Driver of the day went to Antonelli, what'd you say?
I had Albon for this one.
I had Piastri. Either Albon or Piastri was more deserving than Antonelli.
Wow.
Sorry.
He hates Antonelli.
Sorry,
listen
not
to
sorry.
Him. Yep. Listen to this
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. The Antonelli hate is real. Right. Let's move on to our predictions for the next IndyCar race in probably like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't even know.
Knowing IndyCar, it's like a month out.
I think it's like 3 weeks away. Yeah, because it's the week after Japan, which is 2 weeks from now. So we got 3 weeks until the next IndyCar race.
Love that.
In Long Beach, though, which...
Love Long Beach.
We love Long Beach. Pole position, what do you got, Ben?
I've got McLaughlin for this one.
I've got Kirkwood, because Kirkwood always does well here.
That is very true.
Podium, what do you got?
I've got Palou, Herta, and Award for this one.
I've got Dixon, Palou, and Herta. Not sure why I didn't choose Palou to win, but here we are. winning number of pit stops, what do you got?
I'm going to say 3.
Okay. I have 2.
Based on nothing but the vibes alone.
Vibes are strong. Japanese Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. Formula One, give me your cursed top five.
Cursed top. Morris, Pasta, Verbabe. I've got Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, and Tsunoda. I couldn't figure out a good way to butcher Tsunoda's name. And I've got Alcon as my dark horse because the Haases have actually been looking kind of quick.
Yep. Cool.
But yeah, I'm really hoping Tsunoda actually breaks into the top five for this one. I think that would be sick.
That would be pretty sweet. I have Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Russell, and Antonelli as my top five. I think Ferrari will fumble the bag again. And then I have Tsunoda as my dark horse. So both of us are betting on Tsunoda to do well at his home race. I think he will.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption, I think.
I think he will. He's actually done well here in the past. And RB is a solid car this week.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I'm actually hoping that he stays in the RB for this race.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about
that. If they send him to the Red Bull, my boy's doomed.
I didn't even think about that. I made this prediction completely forgetting that Tsunoda might be in the Red Bull. If he is in the Red Bull, I'm putting him like 15th tops.
You get to go hang out with Lawson.
It would be really funny, or it actually would not be funny, but like if they just cycle through drivers every 2 weeks and they're all bad. It's like, when will you learn your lesson?
Why do the drivers keep doing this to us?
Yeah. Why do we keep having horrible drivers that do really well in other teams but not ours? Why do they hate us? All right, fastest lap, what do you got?
I've got Albon for this one.
I have Lewis Hamilton, driver of the day.
Lando Norris.
I have the other McLaren, Oscar Piastri, the pasta man himself.
The pasta man himself. The man Oscar, from Melbourne.
Oscar the pastry. All right. Ben, it is that time of the podcast where I know you've got sage, wise words of wisdom
yes.
for us.
Today we're talking about gasoline. And so you might have noticed that some cars need premium, some cars don't. And know that some people will swear by putting premium fuel in their cars that do not require it. And there are some cars that can benefit from it, but for the most part, there is very little benefit to putting premium gasoline in your car because your car is tuned for one type of fuel, generally 87, and it will not be able to make... The only benefit to using higher grade gasoline is the octane rating and the reduced ethanol, which allows you to run a higher compression ratio without knocking or detonating or anything like that. So, well, mainly knocking, I guess. So if your car is set up to run 93 or whatever premium fuel is in your area, then that's great and it can take advantage of it, and you'll probably have a downside to running regular. But if your car is set up to run regular, it's really not going to have advantage. Obviously, there's differences between cars. Like, some Mazdas are set up to theoretically detect if you're running premium or regular and adjust their compression ratios and tuning accordingly, but
don't trust that.
Yeah, for most of the time I wouldn't trust that. Just use what is manufacturer recommended and you'll probably be just fine. For motorcycles, obviously, like, premium's nice because they have such high compression ratios already. And when they get stored for long times, the extra ethanol just soaks up water and destroys all your seals. So it's actually a benefit to run premium in a motorcycle, even if it says regular, I would say. But for the most part, you don't have to waste the extra 10, 30 cents a gallon on premium fuel.
Yeah. Also, on a motorcycle, it doesn't quite hurt as much because you got, what, a 3-gallon, 4-gallon tank?
Yeah, no, I filled up my motorcycle and it was like 2.5 gallons today on the ride back.
My goodness. And dropping $8 on gas today.
Yeah, well, I put the 93 in there, okay. So.
Like $10.
Yeah. If I that... went 150 miles on 2.5 gallons.
It's not bad.
Motorcycles are pretty sick.
I wish I had one.
Yeah.
I really do. But that is for future Nathan to worry about.
Maybe we'll have a Motorcycles We Wish We Had podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
A dream car or a dream garage dream podcast. Car.
Dream garage. It could happen.
We can make it.
We could make that happen. We could definitely do that. Anyway, thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listen on. Really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, even though there is no upcoming racing for the foreseeable future, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we might feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about one of my favorite races of every year, the Formula One Japanese Grand Prix. But... until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.